Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 3. And let's read this out loud together, verses 16 through 18. And when you get there, say amen. Let's read out loud. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hallelujah. And let's, as we start this lesson, let's turn over to the Gospel of John. Let's turn over to chapter 14. And I want us to look today, start looking today, and we're going to add to it, at looking at the difference between salvation and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. There's a difference. We're looking at the new birth experience and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. We're going to look at John 14. And, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 12:1, he said, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." So we don't want to be ignorant in these areas. And so as we open God's word, we will receive revelation. Starting in verse 16, it says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that what? That he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." What did it say? Who can't receive it? The world. "Because it" what? "It seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but" what? "You know him. For he dwelleth with you, and shall be" where? "In you." I want you to just keep make note of that. "In you. But the Comforter," who is the Holy Ghost? It says, see this, the Bible answers your question. Because people say, well, who's the Comforter? And you bring them right over here and say, which is the Holy Ghost. "Whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." So you can see here, when it says here, the world cannot receive, one thing, let's go back here and look at this. It says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Now, let's just stop a moment. We just got done reading John 3:16. God so loved the world, right? And he came to die for who? All men. So this is when this says the world can't receive it, it's not talking about salvation. Right? See, sometimes we can read that and somebody can get confused when it says the world can't receive it. He's talking about the Spirit of truth. Why? Because they know him not. They haven't been born again. Right? So this is talking about something that God has for his children that only, that his children only see. So when he says this, he said, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. He's talking to his children here. And he's saying that there's another gift that's available to you, but not to the world. Because they don't know. They haven't been born again. They haven't received the Spirit of truth. Their spirits haven't been changed. So it's not available to them. So this is something, there's something that has to happen to position a person to receive this gift from God. And what is that? The new birth. So there's two experiences that will happen. One, the new birth, and two, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. But in order to receive this subsequent gift, you have to position yourself. You have to receive Him. Your spirit has to be changed. What does it say in the scripture? Jesus spoke about it. He said, we can't stick new wine in a what? In old wineskins. See, so that wineskin is talking about our spirit. It has to be changed in order for this new wine to be put in. You see. So this gift that we have, that we'll receive, is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit imparts eternal life to our spirits. And then there's a separate and distinct work of grace that is the gift of God for His children. So let's look at, I'm just going to walk through some scriptures here. 2 Corinthians, you know this, 2 Corinthians 5, 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Now let's turn over to Romans chapter 8. So you've become a new creature. How do you know that? Romans chapter 8, when you look at verse 14, 15, and 16, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of what? Adoption. So you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, what? Abba, Father. So those that are His have been adopted into or immersed into the body of Christ. We've been adopted into the family of God, and we can cry, Abba, Father. We're His children. Look at verse 16. The Spirit, and we'll write, most of the modern translations say, Himself does what? He bears witness with our spirit that what? We're the children of God. So when you become born again, there's a witness on the inside. Something happened. There's a witness that you've become what? A new creature. You've been born again. You've been saved. You've received eternal life. So the Holy Spirit here does what? He gives, or He immerses us into the body of Christ, and we receive what? Eternal life. So that experience of receiving eternal life. So here's some things that when we look at this particular experience called the new birth, it's referred to, I'm doing this for a purpose, they're referred to as receiving Christ, receiving eternal life, receiving forgiveness of sins. These are all talking or synonymous with being born again. So receiving Christ, I'm going to give you some scripture. We'll just you can write these down just for sake of time. We don't need to turn there. But John 1:12, it says, but as many as received them, Him, to them gave He power to what? become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It's not talking about being filled or baptized with the Holy Ghost. But yet, this is the same Spirit of God, but in a different way. We're talking about the new birth. Like in the New King James Version, it says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." Now, why don't you turn over to 1 John 5:11. 1 John 5:11. And this says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us," what? "Eternal life, and this life is," what? "In his Son." He's not talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost. He's talking about being born again, receiving what? Eternal life in his Son. Acts 26, you can go over Acts 26 and verse 18. We're talking about the new birth here and the difference between this and being filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 26, and look at verse 18. And it says, "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light." See, we're talking about the new birth here. Turn from darkness and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. What? "That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." He's talking about the new birth here. You've been delivered out of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, out of darkness and into the light. You've received the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Now, I want us to turn over to the book of Acts, and you can turn to chapter 8. And so, just in a recap, we're talking about the new birth, the work of the Holy Spirit in you to receive eternal life. And as it shares here, as I just done sharing, it's referred to as receiving Christ, receiving eternal life, receiving forgiveness of sins, being made a new creature in Christ. Now, in the book of Acts, there's some terms that are used. It talks about, now we're talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost, receiving this subsequent experience after you've been born again. It talks about, here's some of the terms that are used. It says people received the Holy Ghost. They're filled with the Holy Ghost. We're talking about the same thing here now. They received the Holy Ghost. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they were baptized with the Holy Ghost. Or they received the gift of the Holy Ghost. All talking about the same thing, but different than the new birth experience. So let's look at Acts chapter 8 and look at verse 17. And we're going to come back and look at this particular verse, but I just want to highlight this term here, being is received the Holy Ghost. When you look at Acts 8 and verse 17, it says, "Then laid their hands on them." And this is talking about Peter and John, who came down to the city of Samaria. And it says, "Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And of course, we're going to come back and look at this, and you can come back up and look at the other verse in 14. It says, now when the apostles which are at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had what? Received the word of God, they sent unto who? They sent unto Peter and John. So they received the word of God. They received what Philip shared. If you go back and you look at the book of Acts, this was one of the seven that was full of wisdom, faith and wisdom, and full of what? He was full of the Holy Ghost. So we know the Holy Ghost was operating in that setting and through him. To do what? Preach the word. And so when they received the word, they received really, they again, you can go back and, well, I'll tell you what, go over to 1 Peter. You can look at 1 Peter 1:23. This is the Peter that was sent down to the city of Samaria. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1 and look at verse 23. It says, being born again, not of what? Corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by what? The word of God. So when we go back and you look at Acts, and you look at We're in Acts 8. And you look at verse 14, it says, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had done what? Received the word of God. How do you become born again? Receiving the word of God. And so you can see here that once they received the word of God and Jerusalem heard about it, they sent Peter and John down. To do what? Get them filled with the Holy Ghost because they had heard they were born again. Hallelujah. You can turn to Acts 19. Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19 and verse 2. And let me start in verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you what? Received the Holy Ghost since ye believed. So this is a subsequent experience since you've believed. Have you received the Holy Ghost? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. So the term received the Holy Ghost is talking about the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now let's go back to Acts 2. Just jump around here a little bit. Acts chapter 2. And you can look at starting in verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord. Where? In one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat where? Upon each one of them. Not in them, upon each one of them. And look at verse 4. And they were what? All filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we see this term here, being filled with the Holy Ghost. Now jump over to Acts chapter 4. And this is another familiar scripture verse in verse 8. And a familiar story. And you can see the effect of being what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. But I want us to just look at this the way the Holy Spirit had it, had the writer write it, being filled. It says, verse 8, then Peter, what? Filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. And then, of course, you can go down and see what he said, inspired, or because he was what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. And then you can jump in the same chapter, look at verse 31. And of course, you know this particular account. And it says, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And because of that, what happened? And they spake the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now let's jump back to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Now here's another term that is used. You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And we're not talking about when it says there are many baptisms. There's the baptism where we are immersed into Christ. There's water baptism. And then there's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So there are baptisms in the church. But here we're talking about being baptized, filled, receiving the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 1 and verse 5. And it says, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized, what? With the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So another way the Holy Spirit wrote this or inspired the writer, you are baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now jump over to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. And look at verse 16. It says, then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John... Same thing again. John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now let's turn back to Acts 2. Acts chapter 2. And look at verse 38. This is talking about another way of expressing this in the scripture is it's called the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let's look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for what? The remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So there had to be remission of sins before receiving the gift of what? The Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 and verse 45. Acts chapter 10 and verse 45. And it said here, it says, and they of what? The circumcision which did what? Believed. So we're talking here about people who believed. Were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. We're not talking about salvation here. We're talking about being filled, the gift of the Holy Ghost. And this is something that is available to his children. It's a gift available to his children. And I'll just read this. You don't need to turn there. But I'm just going to, for the sake of time here, we're going to turn over to Hebrews. I'll just read this in Hebrews chapter 6. And, of course, it talks about the doctrine of baptisms and the laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and so forth. And when you look at verse 4, it says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift." It's talking about someone who has been filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay? Now let's turn to, you're in the book of Acts, turn back over to Acts chapter 1, and let's look at verse 8. What happens when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost? What happens? Acts chapter 1, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon," not in, "upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Now let's go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And let's look at verse 12. And we're going to go back to this particular account here, where we were before. And starting in verse 12, it says, "And when they believed, Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God." Now, I want you to make note of that. "And the name of Jesus Christ. They were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them," and what? "They received the Holy Ghost." So you can see right in these verses here, you can see the distinction between being born again, being immersed in the body of Christ, and being filled with the Holy Ghost. Two separate experiences is right in Scripture here. So you can see here that we have two different experiences. Now go to Acts chapter 9. And let's look at this particular account here about Saul and his experience on the road to Damascus. And starting in verse 1, it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? You want to know, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, What did he say? Lord, what wilt thou have me do? Now that's an interesting statement here, because he's calling him what? Lord. So the implication here is, this is where he got born again. Because after that, what happens in verse, right after that, it says, And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. In verse 7, And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand, and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord, what? In a vision. So Jesus appeared to him also. Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. In verse 13, Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is what? A chosen vessel unto me. Well, he had to be born again. He said, He's a chosen vessel unto me. So at this point, the Lord is saying, He's born again. And it continues, To bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way, and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, what did he say? Brother Saul. He's a brother. He's born again. He's in the family of God. And the Lord, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. This is the subsequent experience of being born again, having eternal life. Your spirit's been changed. The Holy Spirit came in and gave eternal life. So this here, since he received eternal life, this subsequent experience of being filled with the Holy Ghost is available. So you can see here that this is proof that Saul was born again on the road to Damascus and then later filled with the Holy Ghost when Ananias laid his hands on him. Now let's go over to Luke chapter 11. Is familiar? Luke chapter 11 and look at verse 9. Luke chapter 11 and verse 9. It says, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth." Say that. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to what? To them that ask him. This is those that are born again asking for the Holy Spirit. And this is saying here, if you ask, will he not give it to you? And the answer is yes. So let me just read this and recap and kind of summarizing here. We read John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved who? The world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever what? Believeth what? In him. Not in the Holy Ghost. In him. In Christ." So you can see here, the world, we are to preach Christ to the world. We are not to preach the Holy Ghost to the world. They don't know him. They can't receive him. They haven't been born again. You're to preach Christ to the world, to the sinner. And you're to preach the Holy Ghost to the church. Does that make sense? So this is, Jesus is God's gift to the world. And the Holy Ghost is God's gift to his children. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, some folks say, well, you know, we're all children of God. No, we're not. Everyone is a creation of God, but everyone is not a child of God unless you receive him, unless you believed in him. When you believed in him, then you can ask the Father for the Holy Ghost, and it shall come upon you to be a witness. Amen. Glory to God. Now let's turn over to the book of John and let's look at chapter 4 and let's look at verse 1. And it says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria." I like that. He must needs. There was a purpose here. "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the women of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, And who it is that saith to thee, give me drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee what? Living water. Now we're going to look in this scripture here and see the difference between living water and rivers of living water, well of water. So the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the what is deep? The well is deep. From thence then hast thou that living water. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drink of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. The water that I shall give him shall be where? In him, a well of water springing up, how? Into everlasting life. This is talking about receiving eternal life, being what? Born again. He's not talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost. Now go over to John 7 and look at verse 37. Says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now look at verse 38. He that what? Believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Not wells. He talk about rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Why? Because Jesus was not yet glorified. So you can see here the water in the well and the water in the river are in essence the same. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. But the water in the well is for one purpose, and the water in the river is for another. The first experience in the Holy Ghost is to receive eternal life. And this is where the Holy Spirit imparts eternal life into your spirit and bears witness that you're a child of God. The second experience, whereby out of your innermost being flows rivers of what? Living water. Hallelujah. The first experience, the new birth, is primarily for your own good and your personal blessing. The second experience, being baptized with the Holy Ghost, enables God's power to flow out of you to do what? Bless others. So when we get born again, we have been translated out of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. It's for our own personal benefit, not the benefit of others. But when we got filled with the Holy Ghost, rivers of living water flow out of us to do what? Bless mankind. To bless. Go over to Luke 24, and we'll close here. Luke 24, and look at verse 49. It said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye, where? In the city of Jerusalem until what? ye be endued with power from on high. He's talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, if you'll notice here, I think it's interesting. He didn't say, tarry in Jerusalem until you be saved. They were already saved. He said, tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And let's look at Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 2, Acts 2 and 2. It says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. This is what they were tarrying for. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and did what? They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So at this particular moment, rivers of living water began to flow out of them. And of course, you can read the rest of this and you can begin to see the impact of that. What happened because of that? So the infilling, this infilling is the Father's gift to His children. We're to preach Christ to the world, and we are to preach the Holy Ghost, being filled with the Holy Ghost, to His children. Amen. Glory to God. Now I'm going to pick up again the next time I'm here. I believe it'll be next Sunday. And we're going to add to this the other facets. What is the benefit of being filled with the Holy Ghost? What happens when you're filled with the Holy Ghost? There should be, as it said here, there should be some evidence of that. You received power when you received the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And I believe that there's a lot of misconceptions. I know when I was young in the Lord, there were things that were I was exposed to that I'm sure some of you may have been, about how to receive the Holy Ghost. And so there is a lot of wrong teaching, and I think that it would be good to just walk through and share so that it can answer some questions. You be in a position that you can answer questions. Those that may be watching, maybe they have some wrong ideas about being filled with the Holy Ghost. And, you know, I will say this. If, based on the Scripture, and not if, but based on the Scripture, in order to be filled with the Holy Ghost, in order to receive this gift, the prerequisite is, I must be born again. Well, then the question of, well, I don't want to receive the Holy Ghost because I don't want to receive a wrong spirit. Well, you know, if you try to seek the Holy Ghost without being born again, you will expose yourself to something. And there are people that have received a wrong spirit by not being born again, and have exhibited some things that sound like tongues. But I will say this, what does the Scripture say in 1 John? It says, test the spirits. Ask them, has Jesus Christ come in the flesh? And I'll dare say, if you see, the Scripture tells you what to do. If you were to do that, I can guarantee you that that person won't be able to. I've experienced just in my own life where I was on the phone
in a prayer counseling situation. This person called on the phone. I was a brand new Christian. And this person called on the phone, and I'm telling you, if you didn't know it, the person sounded as drunk and as inebriated as you could possibly be. They could hardly talk on the phone. And I thought, you know, being on a counseling phone, I thought, okay, is this a prank call? Is this a joke? Or is this real? So I started to talk with the person. And they could hardly talk. They were, as they say, three sheets to the wind. That's what it sounded like. And instantly, they started to talk just like this. Just as clear and as coherent as you could articulate. And my first reaction is, this is a joke. And I heard the Holy Ghost down on the inside of me. Now, I'm a brand new Christian. I'm telling you, you can hear his voice. And I heard him say this. I didn't even know the scripture. That's why I say when you say, the Holy Ghost, he will reveal and show you what? All things. He said to me, ask this person to say the name of Jesus. That's all he said. And I said, sir, could you say the name of Jesus? This is what I got. Couldn't say it. So I've experienced some things where when you're confronted with the wrong spirit, there's a way to handle it. It's the Holy Ghost way. And his word gives us the answer. There's no mystery. So don't be afraid of demons and devils. It says, ye are of God, little children, and what? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The greater one lives in us. The spirit of truth lives in us. And he will reveal to you how to operate in this earth realm. Amen. Glory to God. The helper, the comforter lives on the inside of us. Greater is he. And now is the time, because we, the church, have been born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. Now is the time that we speak with other tongues. Now is the time that we ought to pray more than ever in other tongues. And we'll get into that, and we'll talk about that in some subsequent lessons on the benefits of that. Building up your most holy faith, what? Watching television? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. So I'll tell you, I'm excited about this. And I'll tell you, amen, me three. You know, this is me. I'm just telling you, for me personally, and I'll just close with this comment. You know, a lot of people, what you do, you can do what you want, you know, with your life. But I'll share what I do. When I'm on the road driving, or I'm somewhere going, or getting up in the morning, or going about, I don't just flip on the TV or the radio. Now, you can do that if you want to. You know, there are times, I'm not saying we're going to just be all spiritual, there's times that we go through life and we have natural things to do. But while I'm doing those natural things, I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. Because here's the thing, praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost will make you more sensitive to his presence, his leading, his wisdom, his guidance. And I'll tell you, now's the time more than ever we need it. So now's not the time to ramp up on watching TV, listening to junk. Now's the time to pray more than ever in the Holy Ghost. It's God's gift to his children. We ought not be walking around, bumping around, trying to figure things out. We have a comforter who will reveal all things if we pray more in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you today Thank you for this gift that you've given us. We're so grateful, Father, that we don't have to go through life in darkness, bumping around. We've got the Spirit of God in us and upon us, filled and endued with power to be a witness to this earth. In Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you that if we've missed it in this area, if we haven't prayed enough, if we haven't spent time enough with you, we ask you to forgive us, Father. And Father, we take time out of our day to pray in the Spirit as we do the things that we're responsible to do. And Father, we look to you, the greater one, the one who is our Father, the Father of spirits, to think through us, guide us by your Spirit. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.